Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. I've been thinking a good bit about what we talked about yesterday and about making God first in our lives, giving Him time for prayer every day, even if it's 5 minutes, and that's honestly all you can squeeze out in a given day, then give Him that 5 minutes. He knows you. He knows your needs. He knows what's real. We want to put Him first in our lives because that's what makes our lives really bear fruit, when He's first. So again, I want to encourage you, be steadfast and make those decisions that you need to make. Today, we look at the first letter of John, St. John chapter 2, verses 22 to 28. Before I read that, let me just comment on the fact that this is the feast of Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzen, and they were schoolmates, they were co-defenders of Orthodox teaching, they were very dear friends. Both served as bishops and suffered hostility from the politically powerful Arians. In 379, Gregory preached at Basil's funeral. "Basil, welcome me also in your dwelling when I have departed this life, that we may live together and gaze more directly and perfectly at the holy and blessed Trinity. Thus we shall attain the fruition of our desire and receive the reward of the battles we have fought and the attacks that we have resisted." That's true friendship. That's true friendship. So we honor Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzen today. And as I said, the first reading is from First Letter of John, chapter 2, verses 22 to 28. "Beloved, who is the liar? Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, whoever denies the Father and the Son, this is the Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father, but whoever confesses the Son has the Father as well. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made us, eternal life. I write you these things about those who would deceive you. As for you, the anointing that you received from Him remains in you, so that you do not need anyone to teach you. But His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and not false. Just as it taught you, remain in Him. And now, children, remain in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be put to shame by His coming." That's what the great friendships had a great deal to do with in the early church, really supporting one another. These two men who were bishops really giving one another encouragement and wisdom and help and encouragement along the way. Brothers and sisters, that's what we want to be for one another. We want to encourage one another because sometimes we're called to do very difficult things and sometimes we're called to do very hidden things. In both cases, we would love to have somebody right beside us telling us how wonderful we are. But, brothers and sisters, it isn't about us. It's about God. That He will care for His flock, but He asks us to help. Wherever we can help, let us do it gratefully. And Psalm 98 says, "All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God." Yes, they have by this time. And what has happened? In so many cases, how many people have turned away? How many people have ignored? However many people have looked down upon the church, and we have made our share of mistakes, and we're still doing it. We have to pray for our church as well. But pray, brothers and sisters, that we get all of us together, all of us, get on the right track. Pray to Basil and Gregory Nazianzen. Ask them to pray for us, that we may follow the Lord more closely. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. That's what He wants of you. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. It's true. His word has been proclaimed. It's been heard across the nations. Many have rejected, have ignored it, have been in opposition to the word. And then there are those who have followed him, taken his word seriously, and followed him with their whole hearts. That's what we want to do, that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. His message has been given, but it's our lives that, in a sense, embody his mission, that he allows that we can use the gifts that God has given us to honor him and uphold him and make him known. Think of all the ways you could do that. I don't mean peppering every conversation with scripture. People can get very tired of that. Ask God when and where and how, and he will tell you. He will tell you. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" And he said, this is John the Baptist, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." He was the one who proclaimed him, who preached about him. He was using his gifts to draw people into an understanding that they had a God who loved them, bring them closer to him. "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord," as Isaiah the prophet said it. Some Pharisees were also sent, and they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing, preaching the coming of the Messiah. Brothers and sisters, please, please make reading the scripture daily. Take the New Testament first. Read it daily. However short, read it daily. If you can read one chapter, that would be good. If you can read a half chapter, that's good. Read something of Scripture and do it in some kind of sequence, Old Testament, New Testament. You could just take all of the New Testament and then read all of the Old Testament. However you choose to do it, many teachers have different ways of doing this. But I want to encourage you to read. Let the Word of God become part of you. Not just that you memorize it and stick it up here in your brain somewhere, but let every fiber, that's what I so wish for all of us, that every fiber of our being is turned toward the Lord. We want to honor him, console him, strengthen him as he came in the flesh and was betrayed and crucified. Praise him. But he rose on the third day. He rose, and life made a huge turn into a whole different atmosphere, so to speak, when Jesus was raised from the dead. So now, in these weeks, in these days, we're celebrating his birth. Pay attention to the Holy Family. Pray how they lived. Pray about it. See it. Because they worked hard. They worked many hours. They didn't just sit there and look at the baby and say, "Oh, how wonderful we have God in our midst." They didn't. They followed him bit by bit. Brothers and sisters, it's hard because it takes faith. It takes faith. And that isn't always easy for us, is it? It isn't easy to live by faith. But you see, all the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. That's one of the Psalms, the Psalm for today. Let that psalm become yours. Pray it. Make it part of your life. That's what we want to do. God created the human being according to the image and likeness of God, and made him worthy of knowledge of himself, and equipped him with reason in contrast to the animals, and granted that he take delight in the inconceivable beauties of paradise, and appointed him ruler of all things on earth. Then he was outwitted by the serpent, and fell into sin, and through sin into death, and the evils attendant on this, yet God did not overlook him. First, he gave the law as a help, appointed angels to guard and care for him. He sent prophets to reprove evil and teach virtue. He thwarted the impulse toward evil by threats, awakened eagerness for good things by promises, often revealed the outcome of good and evil in different persons, judging them in advance as a warning for others. God continued in all these and similar benefactions and did not turn away in response to our disobedience. For we were not sent away dismissed from the goodness of the Master. Rather, we were recalled from death and given life again by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this also, the way the gift was bestowed, involves a greater wonder. Being in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. He bore our weaknesses, he carried our diseases, he was wounded for us that by his bruises we might be healed. He redeemed us from the curse, becoming a curse for us. He submitted to the most dishonorable death that he might bring us back to the glorious life. And he was not satisfied merely to give life to the dead, but he also gave them the honor of divinity and prepared eternal rest, which surpasses every human thought in the greatness of its joy. What then shall we give to the Lord in return for all the good things that have been given to us? He is so good that he does not demand anything in exchange, but it suffices him merely to be loved by those to whom he has given gifts. This is from St. Basil the Great. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine what it would be like to see someone die for you and not to love them and remember them and think of them and try to follow in their footsteps? Well, Jesus died for you, and he died for me. He is God. Brothers and sisters, take that in. That's not something that happened years and centuries ago. God died for us, and the grace and the power of that remains for you and for me. Please, in this new year, please turn away from sin. Please open your heart to God. And even if you sit before God and you don't hear a thing, just stay there. 15 minutes a day, if that's where you have to begin, that's fine. Just give him time, because he wants to speak to your heart. And he wants to lead you. The country's going through some very difficult things, and we need a people who are strong and steadfast and focused upon the Lord. Let us be part of that, that he might bring us into freedom. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.